You're listening to Vatican Radio. Sierra Leone has begun burying hundreds of victims of a mudslide that swept away homes on the edge of the capital, Freetown. As the burials took place, aid workers warned of an impending health crisis caused by about 400 corpses left out in the warm climate. Meanwhile, food aid is reaching thousands of people who survived the disaster. The United Nations World Food Program is distributing two-week rations of rice, grains, oil, and salt to at least 7,500 people. More than 3,000 people have been left homeless and in urgent need of food, shelter, and health care, while another 600 people are missing. Laura Purvis is an emergency response officer with the UK-based Catholic relief agency CAFOD, a member of the Caritas Network. She spoke with Lydia O'Kane about the needs on the ground and the threat of disease.
This really does seem to be unprecedented. So we are seeing reports that kind of in this rainy season, which runs from kind of June to November, Freetown has already received triple the usual amount of rain that it receives on an average year. And heavy rain started on Sunday and has continued since, which is, you know, exacerbating the situation. And there's lots of houses perched on the mountains and the hills, which are quite precarious and are obviously kind of being affected by the flooding.
Yes, I'd imagine that you were talking about the houses, and I imagine they're probably quite flimsy. So once something like this happens, they literally just fall.
That's right. So what we're hearing about the reports of the landslide that occurred is that it came down the hill and it wiped out many of those precarious shelters that were perched on the mountainside. And we're hearing that at least 400 people, including 60 children, have been killed. And potentially that figure might rise up to 1,000 because there's many more still missing. So it is a very desperate situation.
From what your partners are saying on the ground, what exactly do people need right now with regard to relief supplies, things like that?
So I think the immediate needs for the people at the moment are kind of shelter and protection from the elements, non-food items to help them to be able to recover in the very first stages of the emergency. But aid agencies and CAFOD's partners are concerned about the potential health implications of this crisis. So, with the flooding potentially contaminating water sources, potentially that water is going to be dangerous for people. There are concerns about the spread of kind of waterborne diseases such as cholera and diarrhea and so on, which will again exacerbate the situation and place those people in even more need than they already are.
There's also a lot of people that haven't even been accounted for. There are a lot of people that would be missing. Obviously, the displacement would be vast.
That's right. So they're saying at the moment, I think it's about 2,000 people who have been displaced. But obviously, the situation is very fluid at the moment because of access and the continuing rains. People have been unable to, really get the relief effort up and going. And so they are still recovering bodies and looking for missing people. So at the moment, I think we're not quite sure of what the full gravity of the situation is as yet, although clearly from what we're hearing so far, it is very serious indeed.
Would you say that lessons have been learned from past events, past mudslides, past natural disasters that would help them put into place a plan for something like this?
Yes, yeah, so the humanitarian sector as a whole is, continually learning and reflecting from previous responses. On this occasion, there was quite a big focus on preparedness planning and trying to ensure that agencies were pre-positioning themselves to be able to provide a response as quickly as possible, which I think is some of the key learnings from previous responses. So it's a bit of an ongoing process in terms of those learnings. From what we're hearing from our partners on the ground, there are concerns that, that there is going to be further flooding. So I spoke to one of my colleagues who's based in Freetown this morning, and she was saying that although it's not raining this morning, there's kind of gloomy dark clouds above the mountains, which are indicating possibility of further rain. And if there is further rain, that will obviously further hamper the relief effort, access to these communities, mean that those people who are displaced and perhaps are yet to receive shelter items and so on, they will be, more open to the elements. And there may be further flooding in Freetown as well as we move through the remaining of the rainy season. I think it is important to say here that, the rainy season is due to kind of continue on until November. And so there is a chance that we may still see further flooding and further humanitarian needs yet.
Yeah, just on that note, I mean, obviously there are different stages when you have something like this, that you're in the kind of the relief and providing help stage, but there'd also be stages where rebuilding work and all that they're all future projects that we'll all imagine will have to be looked at.
Yes, that's right. Obviously, there are the initial needs of the communities that they're facing over the next few days and weeks, but there will need to be a significant rebuilding effort to provide those people with, you know, alternative accommodation. Hopefully, there'll be a process of kind of building back better to provide these displaced households with accommodation that is perhaps more suitable against future flooding and will perhaps place them at less risk in future. But in the meantime, I think, you know, the country is still trying to come to terms with what's happened. And the president announced that there would be 7 days of national mourning starting today for the people that have been affected by this crisis. And, you know, there has been a national emergency declared. So I think for the moment, it's very much focusing on those initial immediate needs of the population, really helping to save lives. And then as we kind of, once that support is there, then there'll be a process of thinking about what next and how can we really help these people as they move into recovery.